Welcome to the Holistic Icon Podcast, hosted by Dr. Nisha Chelam, a board-certified internist and holistic medicine specialist who understands the science of disease and the art of healing. Every week, Dr. Nisha gives you tips on how to take control of your health, because you are your best doctor. Here's your host and author of Transform Your Thyroid, Dr. Nisha Chelam.
Dr. Chelam Marina, and we have a very, very, very special guest today. And on for those of you who can see the what we call this gallery view, you have Dr. Lara Salia, who is from Wisconsin. And I'm going to have Dr. Salia actually introduce herself to all of you, because I think she will be able to give a better go into a little more detail, because I know her as a colleague. And her work is very unique, very special. I'm going to have her introduce herself. Go ahead, Dr. Salia.
Thank you, Nisha and Marina, for having me. This is awesome. My name is Lara Salia, and I am a functional family physician in Monroe, Wisconsin. We are famous for our cheese. And my mission
I'm sorry, one second. Should we be drinking right now? Should we put everybody in my game? I heard cheese. It triggered.
Right. Lots of gluten, lots of dairy up in these woods here. So my mission, though, is quite unique. You're right. I am on a mission to teach all our physicians how to prescribe creativity to help their patients and also help themselves from burnout, because it's very therapeutic. And we'll talk more about that today. It's been an exciting adventure.
Awesome. So I know one of your, you're the founder of what we call, what is called as Right Brain Rescue. Just for somebody who has no clue how the brain functions, what is the difference between the right and the left brain, and why are you focusing on the right brain?
Well, actually, that is a misnomer. Our whole brain is involved in creativity, but right. Through history, we've kind of attributed the right hemisphere as more of the creative side, whereas the left hemisphere is the logical side. So to appeal to the masses so they understand what I'm doing, I call the program Right Brain Rescue, because in medicine, we're very automated. It's starting to make it so that doctors follow workflows and checklists and metrics, and that's just how our life has become. And we need to infuse more of that creativity into medicine, because in my opinion, I think medicine is the most creative career. You're taking in all your senses. You're putting together narratives of a patient. You're helping provide a healing environment. And you're really relying on all of your senses. So right and left brain hemispheres, they connect through the corpus callosum, which is the middle piece of our brain. Mm-hmm. And there are studies that show when you help prime these communication patterns, these brain activation patterns that we can all learn, you will actually augment the therapeutic benefit of creativity, and you'll be able to use it to come up with more insightful solutions and actually improve some anxiety and depression as well.
So let me understand this. So we need the two, I mean, for those of us who don't understand how the body actually develops, we actually have two sides that actually conjoin, and we're all asymmetrical. And yeah. And really, the brain is also asymmetrical, but with some programming, with some training, we can actually get the brain to communicate so well with each other. They're synchronous, and you know, we're able to achieve much more than when we are working on just one little emotion as such. And am I getting that right?
Absolutely. Absolutely. What we do is we spend most of our time in the prefrontal cortex, which is the front part of our brain. We're making decisions and we're analyzing, and that's what we would consider as our executive function. And what creativity does is when you look at the brain in a functional MRI and you allow that brain to dip into that creativity thought pattern, which we call the default network, you see different parts of the brain light up. And so what we're doing is we want to retrain and help people keep that alive. Kind of like when you go to the gym and you exercise your muscles, we want to exercise the brain in this way.
Okay. So when you look at the prefrontal cortex, what age does it start developing?
Oh, you know, I don't know the exact answer to that, okay. But I do know that the brain is done developing at age 25 when it comes to the sulci and the gyri and all the connections. However, We used to erroneously think that it was done developing and that you couldn't an old dog, new tricks. And now, as you know, in functional medicine, the research is just amazing on cognitive decline and Alzheimer's and how we can encourage neuroplasticity. So that's a key element of creativity, is really greasing the wheels of neuroplasticity and allowing these connections to continue to form all the way until your grave.
So the reason I ask the question is, I don't, from what I remember, like you said, it is done developing at 25, but it starts really forming a little later in life. So children basically can be more creative. And that's why kids are able to learn language under the age of 5, multiple languages. They're able to do a lot of and come up with ways to overcome obstacles because they're creative when they're put in a situation to get out of the situation to get what they want. And somehow as we get older, we kind of lose that creativity. And then we get just caught up in this overwhelm of life, confusion, we name it anxiety, we name it depression, and, you know, have these different negative feelings attached to what's going on in our brain. And it's starting earlier and earlier now. And I don't even know why that's happening, in terms of it's just the stimuli that we have, whatever it may be. So what we're really beginning to see is we have a lot of anxiety and depression. It's almost like 55% of the population has underlying depression, and less than 25% seek treatment for it. And we've also come across where I think there was an alcoholic, famous alcoholic, was an author who said, you take away a typewriter from this, from an alcoholic, all you have left is a sickness. So creativity actually can help people who are struggling with this. But what has been your experience? How would a physician really prescribe creativity for somebody who is struggling with overwhelm, with anxiety, with depression? Because most of us who learn functional medicine, we look at depression and anxiety as just like stomach pain. You know, when you have a very bad stomach pain, you curl up and lay down and you don't want to do anything. So somebody who's overwhelmed with anxiety or depression or negative feelings just wants to curl up and lie down. How do we even get going in a different direction and snap them out of this pain?
Yeah, that's a great question. And I'll answer one question right before that. You mentioned children and how they're so effortless with creativity and wondering why that's diminishing. And the research shows that part of creativity is something called flow state. And that is an actual psychological state where there's alpha brainwave activation, gamma brainwave, almost similar to Buddhist monks that meditate. And in flow state, there is a loss of time. There's a selflessness. And there is an enjoyment where it feels like time is elongating. And you can get into flow state with pretty much any activity. It's a full immersion of all your senses. Now, children are so creative because they don't have that external judgment. They're very unself-conscious at an early age. So they're able to dip in and they just make art and they just make fun things happen and they don't worry about judgment. Whereas adults, now, when you're older, you worry about, is this product going to be acceptable as art, or is this even worthy of creativity, or was my time wasted? And whereas kids, you watch them and they just play. So I wonder, and this is my theory, is the reason why we're seeing less and less creativity is social media, is comparison. We have kids that are now getting on social media earlier and earlier, so they're losing that selflessness where they could just play and experiment and have that creative project be a flop, but nobody cares. Whereas now they're comparing to their peers. It's supposed to be an Instagram worthy photo. And I think we're just really, unfortunately, gearing everyone to be less creative. So yes. And then to help prescribe that, just like functional medicine, it is a web. So part of the prescription of creativity is, number one, allowing that space and honoring that that is a worthy therapeutic option. And studies have shown that when you dip into something creative, and it can be even passive creativity, like looking at a painting or coloring, really not even generating novel creativity, you can lower your anxiety and depression, and you can actually lower pain scales, and you can improve your self-esteem but we have to honor it first. So that's step one, is honoring that it's a good force. And then making time for it, just like anything in a functional treatment protocol, we work with patients and we say, okay, what one thing can we have you do every day? Maybe 5 minutes. Maybe it's just, you're going to pause and look and think about what song's on the radio and what does it remind you of? Where were you when you first heard that song? Something that jogs the memory, you know, and really working with that and just establishing a daily routine of creativity. And then finally, finding something you like, you know, some people, they love to draw. Some people, they love to listen to music, or they want to move their body and have a dance party in the kitchen. You know, there's so many ways that you can activate your creativity. There's like a buffet of things to try. So that kind of is the beginning of a prescription for creativity.
Yeah. And you know, one of the commonest things that you're going to hear is like, I want you to do something that gives you joy, whether it be in a creative way. And the first thing I hear is, I'm not creative.
Yeah.
Right. So what do you tell a patient who says, you know, I'm not creative?
I love it. That's my favorite question. The real definition of creativity is something new and novel and something useful. So when you look at the fine arts and the artists of decades ago, even Pablo Picasso said that good artists copy, but great artists steal. So we set the bar way too high. We think we have to be this ingenious, wonderful person who's colorful and crazy and creative. That's not creativity. Creativity is simply looking at something. You could even do it on Pinterest and go, well, that looks very interesting. I'd like to try and replicate that. And you're not stealing. You're just replicating it in your own unique way, because we're all unique. Right. The other thing I think, and this is my own definition, I think creativity is simply curiosity manifested. That's it. You're curious about something, you manifest it, whether it's in written word or dance or art or music. It's just an exploration.
Yeah. You know, I always tell people, a thought in your mind is something you created.
Totally.
So, yeah. We all create every day, every second. Mm-hmm. It's just, you make a choice of what you want to create that particular day, that particular moment.
Absolutely. And I think you're right. Like, people worry that that has to be something completely new. Well, guess what? Just because it's coming from you, it's new. I mean, only you have your world perspective with your experiences, your childhood, your opinions. It's all unique. And like you said, you have 70,000 thoughts a day. So that's all creative.
Yeah. Absolutely. So somebody who's struggling with anxiety, and we've heard of this, there are painters who've started painting at the age of 50 and really become professional painters. They didn't know they had it in them. If somebody wants to say, you know what, I've tried just about everything for anxiety and, you know, it just never leaves me. Let's say they don't want to work with a functional medical doctor, because, you know, once you work with a functional medical doctor, you're just cured.
Yes, of course, right? There's no going back.
There's no going back. There's no way that you're going to remain sick. But, you know, half the world does not want to believe that. But they decide, you know, right, I want to just try the creativity method. What do I do? How does a person even start? Do they just join classes, or do they are there online programs that they can really participate in? Is something that you would do, anything that you offer that people can actually participate in? I don't know. Where would they go for
Right. Well, I think in general, if somebody is just interested, I mean, in my program, Right Brain Rescue, there's a whole buffet of ways you can choose and craft your own creativity prescription. But when you're just listening and you're wondering, how can I infuse my life with more creativity? The first question that I ask patients is, well, when was the last time that you remember just losing track of time and finding joy? And that's a simple question just to ask yourself. Now, we get a lot of answers, as you can imagine. People are like, well, I really lose track of time when I'm doing laundry and I'm folding laundry. That's not creative, you know? But you never know. Maybe you like origami. You know, that's folding. You know, try and think of what activity that is, and then look at how that relates to the world of a creative person. And even if you're stuck and you are the most stubborn, and I've worked with a lot of people where they're like, I have no creative bone in my body. We absolutely do. From computer programmers to any of the most mundane things, we all have an element of joy. And if you can't figure that out, what makes you curious? And just, that's what I love the internet for. There's a meetup group for everything. So if you're more timid and you don't really want to join like a pottery group or a writing group, then there's so many tutorials online like Pinterest and YouTube. Just explore, learn how to cook a new recipe, you know, see if you can make banana bread 50 different ways over the next month. That's creative. You know, there's so many other ways.
Yeah. Yeah. So basically we just have to figure out, we have to sit down together, figure out, maybe they could work with a health coach, figure out what really gets them to lose time, gets them really involved, and then build from there.
Yes. But as you know, with functional medicine, when your body is not tuned to its most optimal healthy potential, then some of these things can feel like such a big chore, right? So that's part of the whole Right Brain Rescue program, is not just showing people how to activate that creative brain pattern, but also showing them that when you fuel your body with omega-3s, with mitochondrial-rich ingredients that help with your energy levels, and when you talk about cortisol and you balance your sleep patterns, then suddenly it's like you're finding things like a treasure of time. Suddenly you have energy and time that you didn't have before. And now you might think, well, yeah, I think I want to be creative. So it's kind of a balance.
Okay. So I think that's a very good point. Sometimes people don't realize the anxiety and depression when they come to you, and as a functional medical doctor, I'm sure you experience it. They say, I'm basically healthy except for the anxiety. Mm-hmm. The anxiety is probably the only flag of your ill health. Mm-hmm. And this is just one part of the prescription. And people truly believe, hey, this one thing shifted my whole life. Actually, this one thing got you into a path where everything else slowly shifted. So it could be just starting off with creativity, or it could be starting off with figuring out, how do I feed myself so I can actually get my brain fog lifted and I can open up some avenues to get more creative. I mean, there are so many different ways you can address this, but what I've noticed in all of our patients, I'm always surprised at all the other things that they are capable of doing once they become well. And sometimes the creativity comes in once they are actually physically, their cellular health has improved. It suddenly opens up and they said, I didn't realize I had so much brain fog till it lifted. And I'm sure
exactly. And that's, I think, the basics of functional medicine is the magic of it, which is one of my favorite parts, is seeing the resolution, or just that they almost feel like they have superpowers, you know, and it's kind of neat to see that.
So just from a functional medical practitioner standpoint, since you got out of traditional practice medicine, you know, the ill for a pill for an ill, to, hey, let me get to the root cause. But how did you get into the business of the Right Brain Rescue?
Well, I would say it's a labor of love. It's a labor of my own personal story of being burned out. And you know, when years ago, when I was seeing, and I felt, I think it's just a nice culmination in a journey that is probably applicable to so many practitioners, not just physicians, but dentists and chiropractors and everybody in the health, firefighters, teachers, anybody who's had burnout. You know, you go along this path, and being on the younger side, I embraced technology. I did all the things that they say to do to fight burnout or prevent it. I made sure I had vacations. I made sure I balanced my work and life. And I still felt like I was not getting the kind of career that I had signed up for. And I am a rural family doctor by trade. So I did a lot of procedures. I enjoyed my patients. I loved my career. But as medicine has been more and more compartmentalized and more cookbook, I started feeling frustrated. And when I found functional medicine, it was just like a door opened that this is what I've been wanting to do all along, is really treat the whole person, because I'm a trained osteopathic physician. So we're very much into the holistic mindset of manual medicine. And so it was a beautiful hybrid marriage where I just went ahead and said, I'm going to start training in this, and tried to introduce it to our current model in our community with my employment. And it just doesn't work. It's harder for hospitals to understand that this is going to take time with a patient. So financially, it was not feasible, and I had to cut ties and just set up my own shingle. And it's been wonderful. It's been a great roller coaster. I've had to use my creativity as we learn to navigate that, but it has been great for the community, because once people start feeling better and they see the difference and the providers I work with that I've known for 10 years see what I'm doing, it's like a buy-in. They're like, well, great, you're getting our people better and wonderful, and let's work together. So right. That's kind of the journey. So Right Brain Rescue came of that because as I was burned out, I kind of digressed. As I was burned out, I escaped from my lunch hours and I would walk. And I am not, if you see my teacher from PE class, seventh grade, her name is Mrs. Abbott. She always gave me C's, and rightfully so, because I'm not an athlete. Okay.
Yeah.
So for me to go out on my lunch hour and start running is like, I must have been stressed. Right. So as I'm running, I'm activating both sides of my hemispheres, which we learn now is similar to EMDR therapy that activates mm-hmm. these brain patterns. And I start having these creative thoughts, and it was almost like incontinence of the brain. I couldn't even help it. And as I nurtured these patterns more and more, I would have more creative thoughts. And then as I was delving into the functional side of nutrition, my energy levels went up. I was able to get off all of my sleep medications. I didn't have any medications I needed, all because of food and proper supplementation. So it was that journey that led me to think, why can't we teach our young medical students and residents how to keep that creativity alive and nurture their body?
Yeah. So basically, you got so stressed and overwhelmed. It was almost a physical way of, I'm running away from what I'm doing. But actually, it turned out to be, it was a good time for your brain to be activated and come up with these creative ideas. And you realize, like, your health shifted, your mind shifted, and you were much better off.
Correct.
Yeah. So that's something that, you know, I was just thinking, yeah, in traditional medicine, we are very creative because a common cold leads us to write a 7-page note when we treat a common cold. You know, that's the only way you get paid for it. So I think all physicians are pretty much very creative when it comes to writing notes these days. But if you really look at it, we're kind of every field, whether it be banking industry, whether it be the teaching industry, whether it be healthcare, whether it be physical therapy, we're all being asked to do certain things. And I've realized what they're trying to do is get the computers to take over what we are doing. And they know a certain step will work and will give a certain outcome. And it's up to patients to realize whether this is what they want as their healthcare to be. Everybody is so, like, each individual, their triggers are different. Their life is different. Mm-hmm. You can have 5 diabetics and 5 different stresses that got them to be a diabetic. And I think this is where getting the whole person looking at their brain function, their cellular function, is what is required for them to have true healing. So I think getting into this path of true wellness, whether it be from head to toe, it really begins by getting the whole thing personalized. And for people struggling with anxiety and depression, what would be your takeaway points? I had somebody who came in today, and her psychiatrist said, you're always going to be anxious. And I'm like, no, that's not true. You're never going, this is something you can actually overcome. So what do you tell people who've heard all mm-hmm. their life, you know, you're going to have depression, it runs in your family, you're going to have anxiety, it runs in your family. What would be your advice saying, hey, this is not true, this is what you can do, this is a good step forward away from that permanent diagnosis, so-called permanent diagnosis?
Well, I would say my one takeaway is that you aren't done writing your narrative yet. I think that's just, you're the ultimate author of your life. Now, you may have been born with chapters of your DNA. If you want to use the book analogy, your prequel is what your parents gave you and your genetics. But each day you wake up, you're writing a new page in your book. And each day you can choose to write something different, and you can choose to incorporate other modalities. Like, you know, with anxiety and depression, like you said, our thoughts are so powerful, and they've proven that in our biochemistry and our physiology, that having a great therapist and exploring the kind of therapy that works for you, whether it's cognitive behavioral, whether it's EMDR, there's so many other kinds of therapy out there. So finding a key therapist that helps train you in rethinking different thought patterns and forming different neurological grooves is key. You know, and just trying to be your own detective. You get to know yourself and don't keep rereading old chapters that you wrote like a year ago because they don't pertain. Try reading yourself like you're reading it for the first time. What do you like to do for fun? What do you want to do? Are these relationships you're in toxic or are they feeding you? There's so many things to do with anxiety and depression. And I like that what you're saying is empowering to people that, you know, I don't like it when there's ultimatums, you're always or you're never. I don't like any of that language because there's so many nuances in life. Just like you're not a creative person. Absolutely, we all are. And we just need to dig in and find it.
Right, right. And before we wrap up, Marina, I know you have something burning to ask. Always.
I always have so many questions. So Dr. Lara, you started basically as, you know, a regular doctor. Now you've switched over. You have your own private functional medicine practice. And Right Brain Rescue, separate from that, it's a little bit more geared towards the professional, correct?
Yep, it's geared towards professionals. So I do consults for hospitals and organizations that want to measure their burnout in their staff. And I offer a burnout assessment, and then I come back with their analytics and then do the program if they'd like. You can also do it individually, but it's mostly for, you know, helping people that really want to improve their narrative and be more creative and enjoy their life.
Awesome. So for somebody who's seeing you more on the regular functional medicine side, how do you kind of weave in that creativity for them, like on a one-on-one basis? What's your approach?
Great question. So of weaving it in when I can. And so I do, and a lot of my patients may not, if you're listening, may not even know that I'm doing it because sometimes it's more obvious. Like yesterday I had this little boy and I asked him to draw himself as a healthy boy because I had been working with him for, about 6 months and he felt so much better. So I said, why don't you go ahead and draw what it feels like to be healthy? And so he did. And he put all these neat little details that we've talked about, like grounding on the bare ground in earth. And, and so I'll do something. Yeah. And I would encourage all physicians, a key thing you could do that's easily creative, that easily jumpstarts your patient's narrative is tell them you want them to draw what it would look like if they were healthy. You know, simple. And they don't have to be an artist. They don't have to make a good drawing. Even stick figures will tell a story. They will, you'll see in that story, maybe they're running and hiking. Maybe they're playing with their grandkids. Maybe they're writing things in their story that they want to happen. And it also serves a purpose of positive thoughts and energy that gets them thinking in that direction. So that's one of the main things I do is have people draw what they want to be like.
Mm. So it's a form of a visual manifestation.
Mm-hmm. Yep, visual manifestation. And I bleed in other little creative parts, like a lot of, and I'm sure you feel the same, people say, I can't eat that way, or I don't like that food, or, you know, so you think creatively, well, yes. How about if we try it this way, with this texture, with this kind of, you know, especially with kids. So there's so many little, and I encourage my patients all the time, think of three different possible endings to that story. If you just said, I'm mad at this person, well, what are three reasons why this person acted that way? Think of different, you know, exercise your brain with these divergent like tasks and it helps it kind of expand and makes you feel better.
Good. Let me see if there are any questions. I like that every day we are writing a new page in our life. That was from someone. So true, ultimatums are not final. There are always exceptions. We just need to believe that we are an exception to overcome an absolute. Absolutely, Renee. Thank you again. So we have a takeaway point that everybody, I guess Xanax and Zoloft deficiencies are not the ultimate when it comes to your anxiety and depression. We have been given tools. And we just need to tap in, probably work with someone who can help you tap into that. And so that these things are just something that you acquire and you can actually get rid of in your journey of life. Correct?
Yes, Absolutely. And, you know, creativity is accessible to everybody for, and it's so beneficial for so many medical conditions. Whatever diagnosis is slapped on you, it can be a different narrative. And if you're interested in weekly creativity newsletters, I encourage people to go to rightbrainrescue.com and sign up, and you'll get these little tips and hacks and videos, and everybody can use a dose of creativity every day.
Awesome. Well, thank you so much. We really enjoyed this, and we're going to have this podcast again available on iTunes. Make sure you guys subscribe to it, and hopefully we'll send you a copy or the link so you can also give it amongst your patients now who would realize that they actually are getting different types of treatments besides just supplements and diet changes. So once again, thank you so much, Dr. Lara. And
thank you for having me.
Thank you.
Yeah. Dr. Lara, if anybody wants to get a hold of you, you said rightbrainrescue.com is a good place to start.
That's a great place. Or drlarasalyer.com. But either way, I'm accessible. Follow me on Facebook. I'm there too.
Awesome. We will put all those links down there. Thank you again.
Awesome. Thank you.
Hope we'll be able to visit you sometime in your beautiful art decked out place in Wisconsin.
All right. Yes. We'll talk soon.
Bye-bye.
Thank you again.
Bye.
Thank you for joining us on the Holistic Icon Podcast. Subscribe for the podcast and leave us a review on iTunes or visit holisticicon.com to listen to past episodes. Want to take control of your health and live a life of wellness? Dr. Chellum's best-selling book, Transform Your Thyroid, teaches you how to overcome fatigue, depression, weight gain, and more, and is available on amazon.com.